Today you've been studying about God's will, and I hope you've discovered in this chapter that God is more interested in our knowing and doing His will than we are, that He's not trying to hide His will from us. In fact, the more we know God, the more obvious His desire and His will for us will be. Two young boys were talking one day. The first one asked the other to do something with him, and to which the boy replied, "I can't. My father won't let me." And the first one said, "Well, how do you know? You haven't even asked him yet." And the young man replied, "I don't have to ask him. I know my father." And this is the way it is. The more we get to know God, the more sure we are of His will for us. There is God's will for everyone, and then there's God's specific will for you in particular, His child. In your lesson, you looked up 1 Thessalonians 5:18, which says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And if we're not giving thanks, we're not in God's will. It makes no difference what we're doing. Another verse you studied was 1 Thessalonians 4:3, and I just want to remind you today that fornication could apply to the unfaithfulness of the heart as well as to unfaithfulness with regard to the body. And seeking God with all of our hearts will allow us to have that personal fellowship with Him, that intimate personal fellowship that is His will for us. God can enlighten our understanding about His will in many ways. Let me just review some of these for you today. One is surrender. And this has to do with gearing into neutral, not into indifference. Pencil and paper are always a help in knowing the will of God, as you may have discovered in your list of advantages and disadvantages on page 58. Someone said thoughts disentangle themselves when passed over the lips or through the ends of pencil tips. In deciding about a major issue, here's a suggestion. Write down your best choices. Then write down something that you simply couldn't stand to do. And now put them down and say, "Okay, God, I really wouldn't like this deal, but I would do it if it were your will for me." And remember, ladies, when you surrender, you must surrender to God, not to a profession or to a person or to a thing. For instance, if you surrender to be a missionary, then that's what you have done. You have not surrendered to God. You don't surrender because something is very noble. And if you have a heart to do something, that doesn't necessarily or automatically mean that it's God's will for you. Nor does the need constitute the call. We have this idea sometimes that we want to work for God, but we want to tell Him what we want to do. Another good thing to remember is that God's will is never in opposition to His word. So the scriptures will throw added light on the road of knowing God's will for you. Everything should be tested by the word of God. No matter how you feel, test what you think by the word. And you know, God can just make certain verses stand out to us as we consistently read His word. If you think that you would like to do a certain thing, but it seems too big for you, check it out with the scriptures. When God wants us to do a thing, then He'll provide. I'm reminded of Luke 10:4. Do you remember this is when Christ sent the 70 out? And He told them, "Now don't take any money with you, or a purse, or a pair of shoes." And later, when He asked, "Did you lack anything?" they replied, "We lacked nothing." Counsel's another thing that sheds more light on our guidance. Proverbs 12:15 tells us, "He that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." And Proverbs 15:22 says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established." The word tells us plainly not to listen to anyone or everyone, but to those who will tell us what God says. You know, sometimes people go to the people for counsel that they know will agree with them, rather than seeking godly counsel where they know that they will get an honest, truthful reply, even if it disagrees with what they are feeling and thinking. The reason you're going for counsel is to know God's ideas. And you listen to counsel, but then you have to come to the point of realizing that the decision is your own responsibility before God. Take some time to read 1 Kings 13 and study about this young prophet who was told to do a certain thing by God. And then he was told to do a contradictory thing by an older prophet. And he listened to what the older prophet said instead of to what God had clearly told him. The result was he was killed by a lion on the way home. You know, we're not led around by a hook in our nose, and we can't say, well, they told me to do this. He said to do that. We are responsible for the will of God in our lives. Sometimes we're forced into a situation that produces turmoil in our thinking, and we find ourselves thinking, well, yes, but people are going to say this, and people will say that. But you know, if you take the step that God has led you to do, then he brings you to peace in your heart, and you're more concerned about what God knows than what people think. Along with surrender and the word and counsel, circumstances are another thing that lend more light in determining God's will. For instance, it's obvious that God's not leading someone who has been dumb from birth into a speaking ministry, nor is he leading someone who's a cripple into professional athletics. We need to consider physical limitations. But however, we should not be limited by material things. We walk by faith, and a lack of money should never hinder us. This is a hard thing to learn, isn't it? That we walk by faith and not by sight or not by money. Now, prayer, of course, fits under each of these ideas. And there are times when doing something is better than doing nothing. And at a point like this, we must rely on God's guidance in the light of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And then we have promises to claim like Psalm 32, 8 and Isaiah 30, 21 and Hebrews 13, 5, which should give us confidence and faith to move out boldly, expecting either God's leadership or his restraining grace. And having once determined what you believe to be the will of God, then to do less than that and move at that time in that direction is sin. Romans 14:23 in the Amplified says, "For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. That is, whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful." Well, ladies, let me just give you Romans 12:2 in the Phillips in closing this little visit today. It says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God, the will of God, you see, the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. And I trust, ladies, that you are not letting the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but that you are letting God remold your mind from within so that you can prove in practice that his will or his plan for you is good, that it meets all of his demands, and that it moves toward the goal of true maturity for you. Blessings on you today.